Inspiring solutions to save America,
one show at a time.
Are you ready to get on board?
When are you guys gonna learn? The more you indict, the more we unite. Facts. It's Trump 2024. We don't care. You heard me? We already made our mind up. You already know when the hood got your back. Man, they deep in the hood, gangsters. Hollin' about Trump 2024, you heard me? Woo woo! Wah! Gangsters! The hood got this man back. I'm just trying to tell you. You heard me? And we ain't stupid, man, American people, man. We ain't all them talking about lockdowns and back wearing the masks and all that. You know, they got a new virus coming and it's gonna be, man, nobody don't care. Ain't fooling nobody no more with none of that. You know, new jack, man, nobody being fooled no more. We all the way up, you heard me? It's Trump 2024. That's what it's gonna be, cause we ain't having nothing else.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number three of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. It is official, on the clock, and a reminder, a welcome to all of you who pay attention to us on the podcast. Thank you so much. You've been so huge. More than 2 million downloads of our podcast. So 2 million people walking around with us on their phone. It's just the best. Check us out, Wendy Bell Radio, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Like, follow, share, suggest, give us a review. Welcome home and keep coming back. You know, it's remarkable when you look at the dollars and cents of insanity and you try to pay attention to how much this administration and all of the nuances surrounding it, they just want you to believe in this alternate reality. That no, everything is so good now. It's so much better now. Don't follow what all those people on the right are saying, those Donald Trump people. It's just not working. It's not working. Everybody knows what's going on. And now, in order for anybody to buy a house in this country, you know, and my two oldest sons should be walking this path, the American dream, toward having something that is theirs that they will own and keep and do with what they will forever. Can't afford it. Period. And I want you to hear this audio soundbite because Americans now need to make a monster salary in order to realize that dream. Listen.
The average home buyer needs to make over $110,000 to afford the average home. A new bank rate study showing that the required salary to make that purchase has jumped 46% in just 4 years. Home buyers only needed to make $76,000 back in 2020. And the issue, widespread. You now need a six-figure salary to buy the average home in 23 states, including the District of Columbia. 4 years ago, that number was just six. Mortgage rates, of course, have played a small role in the bump, but home prices have, by and large, kept pace with the needed salary to buy them. The average home up 42%, sitting at $412,000. Now, even though the housing market may be pricing people out, people shouldn't be too quick to think that renting is the solution. Since President Biden took office, rents are up nearly 21%.
Well, it'd just be homeless, right? Seems reasonable. See, if you're a migrant, you can live wherever you want. They'll pay for it. They'll kick people out whose home it was so you can be there. That's scary. You need $75,000 was needed to buy a house before Joe Biden. Now you need 110. A 46% increase. Median home price before Joe Biden, $290,000. After Joe Biden, 412. That is astonishing. Might that be? Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and see if we can connect some dots, right? Donald Trump leads Biden among swing state voters under the age of 35, says Breitbart.com. Is this a surprise? Voters 18 to 34. Former President Donald Trump leads Joe Biden 47 to 40%. in the swing states. Exit polls in 2020, Biden won 61% of that group. He has lost 21%. Back in 2020, when asked by Gallup if the economy was a top concern, only 11% of those 18 to 29 said yes, as did 18% of those 30 to 49. Of course, keep in mind, this was during the coronavirus pandemic. Today, those same numbers have exploded. Now, 47% of those between the ages of 18 and 29 cite the economy as a top concern, along with 43% of those between the ages of 30 and 49. The concern is being reflected in the polls, obviously, Bloomberg notes. Trump is currently leading by the president, 47 to 40%, with voters 18 to 34 in the swing states. This is a March Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll. By contrast, Biden won 61% of voters under 30 last cycle. Who's this guy doing well with, besides triggered, multicolored hair, maybe transgender people? I don't know who he's doing well with. The media, of course, want us to believe Biden's support for Israel is what is driving young voters away. Highly unlikely. Biden's support for Israel is tepid at best. Biden's rival, Trump, as we well know, is a full Israel supporter. Economic concerns, duh, make much more sense. In fact, I want you to listen to this clip. Also, and this is about young people talking about the economy. Is it working for you? If you're under the age of like, say, 35, do you believe that this is a conducive place for you to go after that elusive American dream? Listen.
And brand new polling shows young Americans don't seem to agree with President Biden that the American economy is working for them. Ages 18 to 34, 40% say this is the problem. The economic problems are the most pressing issue for them.
When asked to name President Biden's biggest accomplishment, many voters, nearly 40%, hard-pressed to come up with pretty much anything. In the same Fox poll, a majority also say they're worse off financially compared to 4 years ago.
So 38% when asked, what is Joe Biden's greatest accomplishment? 38% said nothing. That was even a category is astonishing. Nothing. That was like the people in whatever it was it New Hampshire, who voted for other more than they voted for Nikki Haley? Like, is there more of a slap to your face than that?
That was Las Vegas.
Was it Vegas?
Yeah. Nevada, not Vegas.
Punch in the face. Punch in the face. Economic concerns, obviously. As Bloomberg points out, young people are the ones looking to launch, which is awfully difficult to do today. We have crippling inflation. High energy prices, housing shortage, high mortgage rates, millions and millions of illegal aliens competing for jobs. It deflates wages. Those illegals are also competing for housing, energy, and goods, which inflates their cost. And I'm so done with people going back, well, it's the pandemic. Well, the pandemic screwed everything up. No. The pandemic upended the economy when young voters were just entering adulthood, endangering their job prospects as businesses locked down and complicating their housing options as rents doubled. But you know, when you've got people who are relatively affluent people who are working two jobs just to make ends meet, you find something out at food pantries. And you're going to listen now to a report. This is by WSAV in Georgia, talking about a neighborhood food pantry. And it ain't homeless people rolling out of the woods. It just isn't.
Now, according to Help of Beaufort, there are 15,000 people in Beaufort County who are food insecure. And the line of people in need seems to be growing.
I think a big misconception with pantries is you know, people think that only low-income people come to pantries or homeless people, especially, you know, with the rise of gas prices, you know, food prices and everything. We're having a lot of people come in that are working a couple of jobs that are still having trouble making ends meet.
It's sobering. It's everywhere. And, you know, the pandemic, they can't blame that any more than they can invade and they can blame Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine, right? Where we inherited a broken system. We were reeling economically when Joe Biden took over. I have no recollection of that. I remember everything being quite manageable and delightful, actually, because we didn't have to worry about anything like this. Until Biden took office, our economy had roared back to life. What changed, of course, was Biden's lunatic spending, and it's not even his, which gave us inflation. Then, of course, the war on cheap energy, which increased gas prices, the cost of goods and services, all of it. When day number one, when on the campaign trail, Joe Biden said that he was going to shut down all coal plants, he was going to stop with the drilling, it was over. And all of these leftists, what a leader. I could so get behind that. He's just fabulous. How do you feel now? Besides broke. Now, are these people going to admit that they're the problem? I'll hold my breath for that. Do you guys hear what happened in California? Leftist hellscape California. You know what we should do? I think it would make everything better. I think we should raise the minimum wage. What could go wrong? What could go right? Wait for it next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So I have this segment titled Meanwhile, ... in leftist hellscape California, ... I just don't know if you could find a greater poster child for doing everything to screw people over. That would be more of an apropos example than California. I don't know. And if Gavin Newsom ever thought he had any kind of a political career that truly involved people and actual voting for him, give it up, dude. We lost you at the French Laundry when you were partying it up during COVID. And everybody and his brother in California was locked down. You and Nancy Pelosi, wasn't she stepping over people to go and get her hair dyed? Yeah, whatever. How about this headline from the Washington Examiner today? California workers put on notice. What? I thought it was an idyllic dreamscape there. Social justice, equity, inclusion. They like us. It's Sally Field, no. Our cuts are coming with $20 minimum wage going into effect. So you've got all these California workers who have just been told, you know what, now that minimum wage for fast food employees has gone up to $20 an hour, we can't afford to pay you to work a full shift. So is it really benefiting anybody? Of course not, because the obvious ideas are terrible. So California fast food workers getting a pay boost. Started yesterday, coming with some unintended consequences. You guys, it doesn't take a degree in economics. You cannot expect businesses to fork over more pay per person per hour without raising prices or cutting back services somewhere else. So all of us, you know what you're going to end up having is the entirety of California is going to be automated. Nothing says warm and friendly like that. Come talk to a robot. Come push a screen. It's where we're going after the state legislature, approved a law hiking the minimum wage for fast food workers to $20 an hour. Some companies have warned their employees that they will be scheduled for fewer hours as a result of the wage increase. The bill, which increases wages for fast food companies with more than 60 locations nationwide, has put some managers of these chains in a tricky position. Again, it's like my 37 miles analogy. Donald Trump goes to visit the body of a slain officer. He visits with the wife. He visits with law enforcement that is reeling. It's the right thing to do. You don't even have to think about it. It's instinctive. And then 37 miles away, you've got Biden, Clinton, Obama yucking it up, coming out of the floor. Oh, we raised 25 million. The difference, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. Somebody in Obama's lair, Clinton or Biden, should have been like, guys, this is stupid. Let's not do this today. The optics are horrendous. Is there not somebody with like financial planning prowess in the employ of the California system of suck that's like, look, yo, hey, you know, if we're gonna pay more, mandate more. Money just doesn't come out of anywhere. Yeah, there was the argument about COVID. Well, we're going to pass this big bill, the CARES Act. Makes perfect sense. $3.5 trillion. That won't change our way of living. Like, what? Which is why you and I and every other common sense conservative out there, who, by the way, should rule the world because we're the only ones who seem to know what's going on. We're like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You want to pass this monstrosity that's 2,700 pages that nobody has read yet, that Nancy Pelosi is going to laugh about and say, you'll have to pass it to see what you did. Right? That Mitch McConnell stands next to as it's wrapped with a holiday bow on a freaking dolly because it's so damn tall. Page by page, it's as tall as Mitch McConnell and they want to take a victory lap. Oh! Bipartisan. We're going to pay a bunch of people to stay home and get drunk and high and never come out and emerge. It's going to be the beginning of the end of civilization for the United States. Let's sign up for that. I'm not an economist. I do pay bills. I go shopping. I know it sucks out there. I watch my children suffer as they plan to march forward into adulthood. I want you to hear this real fast. Do we have time, Brock?
If you say it now.
Go.
It's one of the highest minimum wages in the country and the first time state lawmakers have mandated a minimum wage for just one industry. Supporters say it's time for the billion-dollar corporations to pay a living wage.
How's it going?
But many franchise owners, like Jessica D'Ambra, who runs 11 McDonald's around L.A., say the law puts an unfair strain on their businesses already operating on slim margins.
Do you feel targeted that it's specifically for fast food?
Yes, and I think people just don't realize that. They see this big McDonald brand and just think, oh, they've got all the money in the world, and it's just that's not at all how it is.
McDonald's, Chipotle, and Starbucks already saying they plan to raise prices to offset the rising labor costs. Pizza Hut preemptively laid off 1,200 delivery drivers like Michael Ojeda.
I was very frustrated. A lot of us got our jobs taken from us.
He was let go after 8 years.
What's the point of the raise if you don't have a job anymore?
Boom! What's the point of the raise if you don't have a job anymore? Why do you vote Democrat? You get the same result every time. You know what? You're not allowed to ask questions. You're not allowed to be skeptical. This is a fascinating conversation. On the flip side of this break on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I do try and I make a concerted effort to see if I can, in the course of a show, as we go through a bunch of different ideas and we play different audio sound bites for you and I read different stories, that I kind of try to come back and go full circle with it. And if you remember at the very beginning of the program, I had spoken about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the value that his voice brings to any kind of political conversation. I don't have to feel the same way as you. We can have different priorities. But we have to have the ability to listen to other opinions. And he was saying the biggest concern, the biggest threat to democracy is the overt attempt by this Biden administration to silence specifically its political opponents, to prevent him from being on a ballot, to prevent him from getting Secret Service protection, to prevent him from being a part of any debate, just refusing to have conversations. That is the sign of weakness. It is sad. And he's right. And it's so endemic in many of the themes that we've all kind of marched through together. And specifically, I want to bring up this idea of climate. The whole climate stuff, whatever the storyline is, which is, of course, predicated the same way COVID was, which is the same way January 6th was, which is the same way anything is. There's got to be some inherent danger, a fear. Oh, my heavens. It's a race against the clock. If we don't fundamentally change everything that we do, which is the biggest telltale sign that you're being screwed, then the world is going to end. And you don't want to be selfish, do you? Now, in order for that story to resonate with people, you need to have a bunch of folks on the dole, right? They need to be in your pocket. You need to have the media willing and ready to spread such propaganda and its reporting and other things that it does. But more importantly, you need science. Science. You need science on your side. And if the science isn't on your side, you need to create science that makes it appear that it is. And get a bunch of scientists on the dole, blackmailed, bribed, etc., to carry your water, to give you credibility. And that's exactly what's going on in this whole climate alarmist stuff. There is no consensus. Every single thing Al Gore and John Kerry, who are total climate pimps, total hacks, they have made their livings off of traversing the planet and finger wagging everybody about some impending emergency. And of course, the data does not line up. If the data were going to line up, there's no way that Barack Obama would build a house at Martha's Vineyard. It would be underwater, right? So this movie comes out. Some real scientists, let's just say scientists who have not been bribed or blackmailed, have come forward and they've appeared in this new movie that exposes the climate scam. So what do you think the scientists who are on the dole, who are in the pocket of the left, who want to pants on fire you into making sure you drive an electric car, giving the government the control over your thermostat, you know, changing fundamentally everything that you do, get rid of that ceiling fan, what the hell are you doing with that? The microwave, oh no, right? Your stove is caught. They need these people are coming out with knives, with pitchforks to try to skewer all of those voices saying, don't believe in this climate emergency. This is where we are. I'm going to pick up the story from the Epic Times. Great subscription if you haven't done so. Here's your headline. Climate alarmists battle to censor film exposing climate crisis scam. Again, if you're Joe Biden and you're good at what you do and you're not a dirtbag, and you're not doing awful stuff, and you're not lying about it every day, right? And people like you, and it's working. You don't need to silence RFK Jr. because people will find you and they will vote for you. Accordingly, if you're an actual scientist and you've got good data that shows, oh my gosh, we are coming up against something very cataclysmic. We need to have a conversation about it. If you've got solid evidence of that, if you've got ironclad, I've got proof. The data shows this, right? And you're not a dirtbag, you can have everybody and his brother come out and try to take you down because you're standing on the right side of things. Censorship equals, oh crap, I'm afraid because they're going to expose me for the fraud that I am. Bingo. I thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I've solved all the world's problems. I will be here all week. Literally, this is what it is. This movie that has come out, Rumble, I think it's Netflix, I think it's on X, features an elite list of scientists, including Nobel laureate John Clauser. And I'm just going to read a couple paragraphs of this. So it all makes, I think it already does make sense, but I see the analogy and it's kind of exciting. It's been a little over a week since Climate, the movie, a documentary produced by Thomas Nelson, directed by Martin Durkin, was released on Vimeo, YouTube, Rumble, and some other platforms. And already it has garnered millions of views, thousands of reviews. This is a quote. Watch this documentary to understand the lies, the pseudoscience, but also the self-interest of government-funded parasites pushing climate alarmism. This is the founder and the leader of the People's Party of Canada. Her name is Maxime Bernier. She posted on X about the film that details how an eccentric environmental scare grew into a powerful global industry. It's COVID, right? It's all of that. It's the same freaking storyline. The final nail in the coffin, it says, for the human-induced climate change scam, an absolute must-watch, Wide Awake Media posted on X while linking to the movie, which features an elite list of scientists, including Nobel laureate John Clauser, Richard Lindzen, emeritus professor in meteorology at MIT, and Stephen Koonin, theoretical physicist and professor at NYU's Tandon School of Engineering. They've got some really big guys. They got some strong science people who are like, look, don't believe in this alarmism on the left. Don't fall for it. Don't say that you've got to go out and go all electric for your cars. Have common sense. Tap the brakes. Slow it down a bit. But still, not all of the responses have been positive. Some reviewers went so far as to call for censorship. Quote, I'm thinking we can get 10,000 people to report Climate, the movie, on YouTube as having harmful and misleading content. Elliot Jacobson, a retired mathematics and computer science professor, posted on X March 23rd. Why do you need to do that liberal thing where you've got to try to put out the call to your clone trooper minions to say, hey, we need to go take action to shut down someone who's calling out our scam? It's so predictable. Following Mr. Jacobson's call, Vimeo removed the video from its platform March 24th, citing a violation of Vimeo's terms of service and or guidelines. Now, the link ultimately was restored. But me just bringing up this idea to you, you see the players, right? You see the plot. Fear. Something terrible is going to happen. Oh no, we need somebody, a bureaucrat usually, who's been bribed, and the people who are the scientists going for the climate change, these people have all been bought and paid for. They are rewarded with the very grant money, your taxpayer dollars, which allows them to perpetuate this myth and push forward ridiculous legislation that doesn't make the planet any cooler, doesn't make anybody any safer, but it sure as hell costs you an awful lot more money. It is yet another grift. All of it is a grift. And look, I'm not going to go into the nuance of what the movie says. If you want it again, it's Climate. Let me see, make sure I get the name of this right. Climate, the movie. The whole point is to illustrate. People who suck know they suck. And they're desperate to keep sucking. And in order to perpetuate their suck, they need you to think that they really are something that they're not, experts. And they get involved in this big ego narcissistic drive to remain relevant, to stay blackmailed and bribed and funded, and to somehow coerce you into giving up something that is really valuable to you. Your freedom to speak, your freedom to put out a movie that's contrary to the prevailing narrative without a bunch of wacko leftists, pants on fire, calling for it to be taken down. If you have nothing to hide from the truth, you invite dialogue. You want robust debate. You say, come to the table. Let's have that conversation. When you are a scam, a fraud, a dirtbag, anybody who pushes back against you is a threat that must be neutralized. Enter censorship. I know. I put it all together myself at 4 a.m, right? It's impressive. Do not go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up, who is a bigger threat to democracy? The soundbite from RFK Jr. I've been alluding to the whole show. Coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So RFK Jr. arguing that Joe Biden is a bigger threat to democracy than Donald Trump. I think this is obvious. And I think it's hilarious that he does these things on CNN. And he does these things with triggered, college-educated, liberal women who I'm going to go back and I'm going to say it again. While I do believe Democrats are America's disease, I think the white, college-educated, liberal, and I'm going to say white, college-educated, liberal woman is the worst form of it. I don't know what happened to them. Off the deep end. Off the deep end. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. argued Monday that Joe Biden is a greater threat to democracy than former President Trump. Now, Erin Burnett is beside herself because she thinks that, of course, it's all about Trump. Trump, 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 Trump. Do you think any of these people would ever be able to take a step back from the crazy train and honestly look at real proof exonerating Donald Trump from all of these charges? I doubt it. It's a religion at this point. As much as this disease has spread, metastasized throughout the interior of the country. It is what it is. But I want you to hear RFK Jr.'s words because it's very interesting when he talks about censorship and silencing. Go.
But do you really believe that when people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is an equal evil to Biden?
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court that shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, for the first president in history, to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing the federal agencies. Those are really critical threats
Donald
to democracy.
Trump, of course.
Critical threats. Now, she has to jump in with a Donald Trump, but Donald Trump, but yeah, but what about... That's when you've lost. That's when you've lost your argument. And you've got to do it. But what about? How about? See, Robert F. Kennedy's voice is so pivotal right now. And I go back to that. It is so pivotal because he is chipping away, exposing with his lawsuits, exposing with him being censored, with him being denied Secret Service protection. Now, his most recent request, the Secret Service didn't even respond. He has to have the ability to speak because he's got different goods. He knows what's going on. Listen to this. Kennedy's Instagram account was suspended in 2021, quote, for repeatedly sharing debunked claims about the coronavirus or vaccines, but was reinstated last year shortly after he announced his presidential campaign. Oh, oops. You know, we thought what you were doing was wrong, but now since you're going to be running for office, we understand that you should probably have access to people. No. No. It's all purposeful. It's all premeditated. It's all scripted. That's why it's all freaking High School Musical. From climate to January 6th to the 2020 election. To the whole LGBTQ stuff. All of this is on the same schedule. In December, the Supreme Court blocked Kennedy from joining a challenge to a case brought by the Missouri and Louisiana attorneys general concerning the Biden administration's communications with social media companies about posts the government views as disinformation. Kennedy currently has a similar case pending in a lower court. Why do you think the feds are coming out and knocking on people's doors? If I saw it once, I saw it 12 times in the last week. People's Ring doorbells, capturing, always traveling in pairs, dudes who try to look like they're filling in or like fitting in, who are clearly feds, as clearly feds as the people who were ensconced inside the Capitol on January 6th, who went behind closed doors looking like agents and came out dressed in other things, trying to create the illusion of being MAGA Republicans. It's farcical, it's obvious, and RFK Jr. calls it out for what it is. So I guess my greatest question is, when do they knock on your door? I don't post a lot on social media. I do primarily on X. And I'm not trying to be provocative. I say what I think. I would imagine it's just a matter of time. But they'll go after the smaller fish out there for the intimidation factor. It's the same cause for why they roll in at 5 a.m. and bang on the door of a pro-life Catholic activist and scare the crap out of his family and their neighbors. It's about the optics. Do you really want to say that? Do you really want to pay the price? Because it's so much easier if you just do as we say. That doesn't strike me as America. And by the way, our children are onto it. That's the good news. 21 hours, ladies and gentlemen. Can you wait? Until we meet again. I'm Wendy Bell. Thanks for being a part of the program, y'all. Peace.